We're going to continue in our series through the book of Ephesians this morning, Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, the first 14 verses. And in your pew Bible, you can find that on page 829. Walking in our Father's footsteps. This is one of those things that it always makes me think of some of the commercials that I've seen on television. One of them that always comes to mind is where they're reminding us as adults that children are going to imitate us. I remember one of the older commercials where a person is a smoker and the parent is a smoker and the child is walking around and pretending that they have a cigarette. You know, it might be a little stick or something, but they're pretending that they have a cigarette and they're being like dad or like mom. Another one that I like is the commercial where, you've seen lots of different commercials, where the kids are all doing dress up, you know, and they're putting on mom and dad's big shoes and plop, plop, plop around in the house, and maybe a jacket or a sweater or a hat or different things like that, and they're pretending to be like mom and dad. They're walking in their parents' footsteps. Because they know they're growing up and they too will be a parent someday. Well, we who are Christians, we are children of our Heavenly Father. And we need to learn to walk in His footsteps. That which is well-pleasing in His sight and will bring glory and honor to His name. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13. The word of God there says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God." If you believe in Jesus, if you are a follower of Christ, that passage says we have been born of God. He's our Heavenly Father. We are His children. So we need to remember to walk in our Father's footsteps. I'd like to have you look with me, if you would please, at Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14. Here this morning, a passage that we'll be looking at and thinking about, how do we walk in our Heavenly Father's footsteps. Would you follow along, please, as I read from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading and consideration of his word this morning. Would you pray with me, please? Precious God and Father in heaven, we do thank you for loving us first and foremost. And Father, for giving us Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And Father, with the understanding that believing in him, being faithful to him, that you have given us the right to be called your children. Father, we pray that you would help us to learn to walk in your footsteps. Help us to see you, Father, clearly this morning. Help us to understand what you desire of us. And empower us by your Holy Spirit to live lives that bring glory and honor to you through our Lord and Savior Jesus, in whom we pray. Amen. Walking in Father's footsteps, we have an example given to us here in the Scriptures that tells us how we can walk in our Father's footsteps. Did you notice this passage begins with, "Be imitators of God"? We are to mimic him. And then what does it say? "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love." When I think about our Heavenly Father, yes, he's the God of creation. Yes, he's the same God of the Old Testament, a God who had a righteous anger and wrath over sin and put to death those who were great sinners, those who were out of the way, and God at times did away with them. But this is the same God as well who loved his creation so much that he sent Jesus here to the earth. There is our example of love. God loved us so much, John 3:16 tells us so, doesn't it? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's love was manifest through the person of Jesus. Our example then in learning to walk in our Father's footsteps is the person of Jesus. I remember a very good illustration of how difficult it would be for us to understand how much God loves us. This illustration was done years and years ago by Paul Harvey, where he read about a man who never really wanted to go to church. His wife would go to church, but the man never wanted to go. It was Christmas season, and the man just was going to stay home, and it was blustering, it was blowing, and it was snowing, and it was getting extremely cold. His wife had gone off to the Christmas Eve service, and the man was staying at home on the farm, and out there in the light from the yard light, he could see these little birds flying around. And the wind blowing so strong and so hard, and the snow blowing, and the man was thinking, these little birds are going to freeze to death out there in that extreme cold. I need to get them in to where they can be protected. So he went out to his barn, he opened up the doors, and then he, you know, got back, but the birds wouldn't go in. They didn't understand that there was safety and security there and warmth there. And so the farmer came around and he tried to get behind him and he tried to just gently kind of move forward to kind of shoo them into the barn where there was warmth, where there was security, where there was safety. And they would flutter around, they'd fly around behind him and get away because they felt like they were going to be trapped. They didn't feel like they understood what he was trying to do. And finally it dawned on the man that if he could become like a little bird, he could lead them into where there was warmth and safety and security. And then it dawned on him that that is exactly what God did for us. By becoming a man in the person of Jesus, he became the example to show us how to live and how to draw close to God, how to do what is acceptable in his sight. And it made a world of difference in the man's life to finally understand that God really did love him and that he had sent Jesus to this earth. Jesus is our example, folks. God sent Jesus. He is the example of God's love. He lived it out in the flesh, and he then went to the cross for you and for me to pay the price for our sins. So learning to walk in our Father's footsteps, we need to learn to walk like Jesus did. Jesus walked in love, caring for people. And I'm just going to remind us of that here briefly this morning as we think about Jesus' ministry. How did Jesus show love and walk in love? In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and following, we have quite a well-known passage there where it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. So Jesus was taking care of people's needs, wasn't he? He was healing their diseases. He was healing them of their sicknesses. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion on people. He was demonstrating God's love for mankind by caring for those needs. All those miracles of healings, all those diseases, the raising people from the dead, the lame who learned to walk, the blind who he gave sight to, all of those are examples of Jesus demonstrating God's great love for us. And we are to learn to walk in our Father's footsteps, learning to walk in love as Jesus did. There in Matthew, I didn't read the last couple of verses, because after it said Jesus saw them and he was concerned about them, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. That's still true today, folks. There's a lot of work that needs to be done for our Heavenly Father. Jesus had compassion on the sick, on the sorrowing, on those who were ill. Jesus had compassion for the lost. We are to learn to walk as Jesus walked. John has a great example of that just before Jesus went to the cross in John chapter 13. We won't read all of this passage, but I just want to refer to it so that you're familiar with it. This is where Jesus, just before going to the cross, takes off his outer garments, wraps a towel around his waist, takes a basin with water in it, bends down, and begins to wash each of his disciples' feet. Jesus was teaching that even the master, even the person who had the highest place, could humble himself and care for others. And then Jesus taught them, as you have seen me do, you must do also. Jesus is calling us to a life of humility, self-sacrifice, and service to our Heavenly Father. So Jesus is the example of humble service as well. Then I like what Jesus reminded all of his disciples of in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, where Jesus tells his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. A very simple statement, but something that requires our all, everything. He who would follow Jesus must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Jesus. I mention all of these passages in these different circumstances to help us see the example that we have in Jesus. Jesus was following in his Father's footsteps. We have the example of Jesus clearly before us, and we need to follow the example of Jesus. And we too will be learning to walk in love as God has called us to do. So back in Ephesians chapter 5, when it says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We too need to learn to walk in our Father's footsteps. Now the rest of these verses from 3 and following, we're going to have very practical things given to us on how it is that we can walk in our Father's footsteps. Notice with me in verses 3 through 6 the things that are said there. "Among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." As followers of Christ, we have been set apart. We no longer are a part of the world, so to speak. We have been set apart as God's holy people. We are for his use. And as Paul said, "I no longer live," in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it's no longer I'm the one who's living, but I have died and my life is in Christ. I've been crucified together with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's how we need to be living as well. And so it's telling us what kinds of things here. We've got to keep our lives pure, avoid sexual immorality, any kind of impurity, any sense of greed. And then if you skip down to verse 5, you'll see him saying some of the same things again. "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person," such a man as an idolater, "has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." We need to keep ourselves pure in living for our Lord and for our Heavenly Father. What about in verse 4? I skipped over it, didn't I? "Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, coarse jesting, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." We have a different standard by which we live once we are in Christ. There's no need for foul language. Some of you know, and I've said this not because I'm proud of it, but growing up, I learned to say some very bad things. And it was only after coming to Christ and really wanting to live for the Lord that he was able to purge from me that bad habit. And praise be to God. He can make the difference in our lives. He can change, and he can, so to speak, wipe the slate clean, not only of our sins, but he can help to clean out the stuff that's impure in our lives. Impure thoughts, impure actions, impure words. No obscenity, no foolish talk, no coarse joking. We don't need to be telling the jokes that are called the blue jokes, because they've got a bad sense to them. They're the really raunchy things, or the things that are detrimental. But we are to have an attitude of thanksgiving, contented in living for the Lord, and thankful to him for all the changes that he's making in our lives. Notice one other thing there in verse 6, what it says. It says there, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. We want to be like our Father, don't we? We want to be following in our Father's footsteps. We want to be obedient to our Heavenly Father rather than disobedient. We want to do what is right in His sight so that we might avoid His wrath, His anger. Now there's another way that we can be walking in our Father's footsteps. Look at verses 7 through 10 with me. We are to walk as children of light. Therefore do not be partners with them, that is, with the disobedient. Then in verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. God wants to see fruit in our lives, folks. The light exposes the darkness. Have you ever noticed that? You come into a room and it can be totally dark, and you could turn on the smallest wattage little light, or even light a match, and that little bit of light dispels an awful lot of darkness. It's the same way in spiritual things. God wants to expel the darkness from our lives. He wants the light of Christ to shine and to shine bright in us, that others then can see Jesus through us. Walk as children of light, we're told, because it'll expose the darkness. The fruit is in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases God our Father and live in that and do that. And the last that we're going to look at is this section in verses 11 through 14, where we are told then to expose evil or reprove evil, verses 11 through 14. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. Light makes things clear. Folks, we need to learn to see things as they are. See them for what they are. Darkness, that which is dark, God wants to dispel, and He wants to illuminate with His heavenly light. That which is done and is shameful, done in secret, Scripture says we shouldn't even be mentioning those kinds of things. Shouldn't even talk about them in the open. Light makes things clearly seen for what they are. I remember years ago, my early days of bow hunting, one of the first times I'm out with friends up around Farwell and going back into a section of woods, and I'm asking them, how long should I stay, you know? And they said, one of the guys looked over and there was a big stump there. He says, when that stump looks like a bear, he says, then it's time to leave. You know, it gets dark enough that all of a sudden your mind starts looking at things and it takes on, you know, that shape takes on a different significance to you, then it's time to leave. Light makes things clearly seen for what they are. I remember walking down the street one time on a sidewalk, and it was one of these windy kinds of evenings where the wind is blowing and the street lights are on, but there are lots of branches and leaves, and I'm walking down the sidewalk, and for a split instant I was sure that this big shadow moving, you know, it was obviously a branch with leaves, but I was sure that it was a big dog that was launching himself right at me. And you know how you do one of those quick jumps out of the way because you are sure that that's what was happening. And just that quickly, I realized, oh, it's just a shadow. But it made me jump. It got my attention. We are to learn to dispel the darkness with the light. Folks, folks, we have the truth. The truth of the understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to take that truth and share it with others. Expel or dispel the darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. That their sins can be forgiven. That they can have a heavenly place, existence with God forever. Just as we have found in Jesus our Lord and Savior. I love what it says here. It is light that makes everything visible. And it talks about letting Christ shine on you in the quote from the Old Testament. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Wake up, O sleeper. What's the idea there? Someone's sleeping. They're not aware. They're not alert as to what's going on. It's that same kind of a figure of being not in tune with God. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise up from your deadness, and Christ will shine on you. Are you walking in your Father's footsteps? And I'm not asking you about your earthly father. I'm asking you about your heavenly Father. Are you walking in your heavenly Father's footsteps? We are to learn to walk in a life of love, and Jesus is that example for us. Secondly, we are to walk in our Father's footsteps in all purity, contentment, avoiding the all of the bad stuff, being thankful, contented, and walking as children of light. And with that light, dispelling the darkness so that others might come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior as well. If you are in Christ, you have already found the light. Your darkness has been dispelled. But there may be others who have not found Jesus as Lord and Savior as yet. They may be your neighbor. They may be a family member. They may be a co-worker. Folks, we have the message to share. We have the light of Christ that will dispel the darkness of others in their lives. If you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, I want you to know, we want you to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because there is a promise of an eternal life with our Heavenly Father because of Jesus' sacrifice for your sins, just as he sacrificed his life for my sins and all the rest of us as Christians for our sins. Jesus, you remember when he and his disciples were going north and they entered into the area of Samaria and they were hungry. So Jesus allowed the disciples to go off to go find some food to eat, and he stayed there by a well. And a woman came to the well and started a conversation with Jesus. And she started talking about, well, you Jews, you believe this thing, and we Gentiles, we Samaritans, we believe this other thing, that this other place is the right place to worship. And Jesus began this conversation and talked to her about living water. And that if she found this living water, she would never have to come back and seek water again. And she desired it. Oh, give me this water. And he eventually pointed himself out to her. I'm the one who is this well of living water. Do you remember what happened? The woman at the well not only believed, she went back into her town. She told everyone else about Jesus. They came out, and there was really a big revival because Jesus started it by talking with one person who was seen as a person not very acceptable in society. Why? Because Jesus told her, when she started asking, what did he tell her? Bring your husband, and we'll talk about it. And she responded by saying, oh, I don't have a husband. And Jesus told her, that's right. You've had five different men, and the one you now have is not your husband. She understood he was a prophet. Folks, all I'm getting at is we have the message, the truth of the gospel that Jesus has shared with us, that we have through the Holy Scriptures, and we can then turn around and share that with anyone and help them to find living water, peace for their hearts and their souls and their minds, and the promise of an eternal life with God. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, we want to offer you that opportunity. We always have a hymn of decision, we call it, a hymn of invitation, in which we invite you to make that decision now, to name Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to repent of your sins, to place your faith in Jesus and say, from this day forward, I'm going to live for Jesus. To repent of your sins, to be immersed. That's why we have a baptistry here, where people can be immersed in the water, in the likeness of Jesus' death, his burial, and then to be raised up to walk in newness of life, to begin a new life in Jesus. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 326, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling to you, and he's calling to me. Won't you respond to him as we stand and as we sing together? Hymn number 326.